Have you ever read a book by a French author named Saint-Exupéry called The Little Prince?
I've heard about that, and I haven't read it.
Well, one of the things in the book that if you ever get to read it, it's really an interesting little book. It's actually a child's book, but it's got a lot of adult philosophy in it, I think. But anyway, he has a character in there called the King. Without going into the story, the King basically makes a statement at one point where he says that the hardest thing to do is to judge oneself. What do you think about that statement? Is it harder to judge oneself, or is it harder to judge another?
Well, I'm sure in the context in which he said it, that's probably true. My experience is that people judge themselves continually
Okay.
about almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And their feelings of inadequacy or feeling less than is all about self-judgment and lack of self-acceptance.
How about the, what would you want to call it? What about the validity of their self-judgments? Or do you think people are when they decide to talk to themselves in a negative way, which a lot of us do, we have a lot of negative self-talk, I guess,
Yeah,
that keeps
right.
us in stasis with this anger that we have or the way we act at times. I mean, is it that easy that you can change your attitude about self and then everything starts to get better after that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And also self-judgment is also, judgment of others is also self-judgment.
How do you see it that way? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, many times people who are judging themselves, rather than to feel that lack of sense of self, they will be busy judging others. And so if they really go to their heart and to their soul, they'll see that they don't have a lot of self-love and self-respect. When you love and respect yourself, you begin to love and respect others.
Did you start this journey? I know you said you'd worked as a counselor, as a therapist before you becoming a lawyer, but did you start this journey from the time you were a child? Did you always know that you'd be in doing this kind of work? Did you have these feelings for a long time? And then when did you act on this stuff for yourself?
Actually, after I had been a litigator, a trial attorney for many years, and I did not know I would be doing anything like this. If anything, I was interested in politics and wanted to run for Congress.
Really?
Yeah, my interest was to be the first Hispanic woman in Congress.
Well, that was a good goal in itself, right?
And I shifted. I just totally shifted into teaching people how to love themselves and free themselves.
A lot of times I talk to guests and authors about their books and the things that they write, and I always ask the question, so I'll ask you as well. I mean, is this somewhat about your own life? Because you're saying to me that you believe that these problems start a long, long time ago. Is it true that perhaps in your own life you went through a journey where you made a shift in yourself? I know you said about being a lawyer, you started thinking this way, but was this a lifetime journey for you, this evolution part of you?
Oh, definitely. I had a very, very traumatic childhood. I was raised in many foster homes, and some of them were quite abusive, and I did not have a sense of self-love and self-respect. And I just, as I began to get really, really interested in teaching people how to love and respect themselves, I began to do a lot of research and go to programs that supported that. And it took me really seeing that the problem is not outside of me, it's inside. And I need to really heal me in order to teach others how to love themselves.
Well, you know what's interesting, and this is not to get personal with you. Hopefully, it won't get that personal. I just think it's interesting that people will say, you know, to be able to talk about love, to feel love, to express love, to do all those things, you have to have been, in a sense, loved as a child. But what I'm hearing from you is that you had a difficult life growing up, foster homes, whatever, and you may not have gotten that same nurturing that a lot of people have gotten, and yet you're at a place in your life where that's exactly what you're teaching is people how to overcome the very thing that people would say, well, geez, it would be natural if you were angry.
Yes, yeah, that's true. I was very angry. I was
Mm-hmm.
very bitter. I was very hostile. I didn't understand what had happened in my childhood. But I think that it's really that everybody has similar experiences of lack of self, even if they've had what quotes is called a secure environment. That's what I see. The
Okay.
people who come from quote stable, secure environments have very similar experiences inside.
Well, see, and that's a really good point. That's why I'm glad you brought that out. That people think, well, only kids who have these angers or people who have anger is because they've come from very totally dysfunctional families or the quote not nice families. But that's not necessarily true, is it?
Not at all, no. The experience is very similar regardless of the background.
People come from varying backgrounds and have even and still have the same feelings going on inside of them. Folks, we're talking to Esperanza Universal tonight, and we're talking about a subject that's difficult. It's a difficult subject for all of us, but one that she's going to give us, we're going to get some steps on how to love the people you hate. And if you are like me in the beginning, I thought this was something like a contradiction in terms. I think she's going to help us get through all of this stuff. So, Esperanza, Now I'm looking forward to the solution to the things we've been talking about tonight. It's you actually have five revolutionary steps, I understand, to help people love anyone, anyone that they hate. So let's talk about those steps and give us some examples.
Okay, great. The way, Nick, that this would work best is to put yourself, picture a scenario where somebody's in front of you who you absolutely can't stand. They push your buttons, you're very angry, you're enraged, or you're very terrified and you're withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to yell? Are you going to scream? Are you going to run? What are you going to do? And so these five steps will work magically and powerfully. I've seen them work over many years. But you do have to make a commitment, first of all, that you want to change that situation in that relationship ahead of time. You can't be right in the middle of it trying to make this change. You have to decide ahead of time, no matter what happens, that you're going to choose to follow these steps and transform that relationship.
So when you said for people to a picture, you mean like a visualization? You actually, because many, probably most people have somebody like that in their lives at some level, right?
Right.
They have somebody. Most people have somebody they have conflict with. Basically,
yeah.
Is what you're saying. And you should let people should picture that person as they listen to what you're saying.
Yeah, and watch it happen. It's very powerful.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. First of all, step number one is very exciting, and that's to know that whatever's happening in front of you, no matter what it is, with the person, the situation, it has nothing to do with you, nothing whatsoever. So you're free.
Well, that's interesting. What do you mean it has nothing to do with me?
It has nothing to do with you. And once you know that, you're absolutely free. Whatever reactions they're having, whatever responses they're having, whatever's happening has nothing to do with you. So now you can focus on you. Now, the interesting thing about that is that everything that you're feeling and experiencing in that situation has only to do with you. It has nothing to do with them.
Okay.
So whatever they're going through is them and their history.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're going through is you and your history. So you're not even in the present moment in that relationship.
Well, that's
interesting. You're in your past and they're in their past, so there's no connection.
Okay, that's interesting. That's a novel way to look at it.
And once you know that this person's in their past, then you're free to say, okay, what am I feeling? What's going on with me? So the smartest thing to do is step number two is to stop and do nothing. Absolutely say nothing, because whatever you say is going to be your history. You're in reaction. Nobody's home. The lights aren't even on, much less nobody's home. So you want to absolutely stop and do nothing and just feel what's going on with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is to be aware. What am I feeling? It's a gold mine. It gives you self-aware. Why am I angry? What's triggering this? How am I feeling? And it brings you to freedom because you're listening to you with self-love and self-acceptance and self-respect. No judgment of you or the other person.
Let me ask you before you go any farther with this.